Guys, I'm so excited to be with you this morning. Are you excited? Yes, I can tell. I can tell. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, I am so excited about this morning. Yeah. No, it's cool. We can get excited about what Jesus is doing. Go ahead and pinch your neighbor and say, it's real. You're not dreaming. We're here. Yeah. Oh, some of you really did that, and you need to apologize now. Okay. I am excited to be here. I am excited about Jesus. I am excited to be a part of a church that is serious about equipping its people to advance the gospel, right? That's the goal here, to glorify God by equipping his people to advance the gospel, and that's what we're all about. And it's exciting to me that as a church, we're spending this time focusing on equipping so that we can be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Does that get you excited? You might want to tell your face. No, I'm just kidding. I'm pumped about it, right? But part of the reason why I'm pumped about it is because for me, this isn't just about like memorizing the G-O-S-P-E-L, but this is for reals for me. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I actually go around sharing, and I talk about the gospel often. I talk about it when I am on a platform. I talk about it when I'm not on a platform. Jesus is the most amazing thing on the planet, and I just love talking about him. Now, does that resonate with you at all? I hope so. I hope you're excited about what the Lord has done in your life and about what he wants to continue to do through your life. When I have an opportunity to share the gospel, I so often will actually use the G-O-S-P-E-L, and it happens, maybe more frequently than you might think. I'm a runner, all right? I enjoy running. It's something that I just kind of enjoy doing. Any other runners in here? Oh, fantastic. A couple people. That's great, right? So I enjoy running, and I love Jesus. So when I'm running, Jesus just kind of comes out. Right? That's kind of what happens for me. And I don't know what you love. I don't know what your passion is. But whatever it is that God has equipped you to do, whatever it is that he's called you to do, I believe that if we're passionate about Jesus, that the gospel can just kind of flow out of that, can kind of flow through that. And so actually a couple of years ago, I was running the Amish Country Half Marathon in Berlin. It's lots of hills and stuff. And I ended up, there was a guy that I was running it with. And I had spent a lot of time praying for this individual. For me, running has become kind of my fishing hole. So I have a lot of illustrations that come out of running, a lot of stories that come from running. But in this particular half marathon, we were running 13.1 miles together. And I had been spending a lot of time, years in fact, praying for this individual to know Christ. In fact, here's something, if you're one of those people who likes to write something down, you may want to write this down. But for me, before I talk to people about God, I always like to talk to God about people. Before I ever jump into a gospel conversation, I always like to pray and to really join God's heart. Because the reality is, God loves people a whole lot more than we do. Can we agree with that? Right? So when we have somebody in mind, we're like, man, I hope that they could put their faith in Christ. Do you think God's interested in them putting their faith in Christ? Yes. He's infinitely more interested in it even than we are. So before we talk to men about God, we always want to talk to God about men. And I had been praying for this individual for years. In fact, we'd been running together for a while, and I was using the AAA that Doug Holliday talked about. I spent a lot of time asking questions and admiring what I could, looking for an opportunity to really admit that the reason I put my faith in Christ is because I'm a sinful person. And there's no way that I could get right with God on my own. Like, I need Jesus. But I had spent a lot of time running with this guy and never had a great opportunity to share the gospel. But there we were at the Amish Country Half Marathon, and at like mile seven, we had been having a great conversation, and at mile seven, he turns to me and he said, hey, you travel a lot. What do you do when you're gone? And I said, well, I'd love to tell you about what I do when I'm gone. And right there, as we were running, I unpacked the gospel, the G-O-S-P-E-L, and I used a lot of kind of running lingo to try to help explain it and unpack it, but essentially I just shared the gospel, just like we're being equipped to do as a church. Now this guy, by the time that he heard this, he was probably 37 years old. He grew up in Wayne County, Ohio. Now there's a lot of churches in Wayne County. I don't know if you noticed that or not, right? He grew up in the United States of America, and there's, billions of Bibles in the United States of America. He grew up in an area where when you roll through your radio dial, you're likely going to find Christian music, a Christian message, something. He grew up in a nation where when you flip through your TV channels, you're likely to find somebody talking about Jesus. He was 37 years old. From mile 7 to 11, I unpacked the gospel. And you know what he says when I finish sharing the gospel? He says, "I've never heard that before." Isn't that amazing? I've never heard that before. Now, I'm not convinced that's 100% true, because it's probably been in the vicinity of where he was at, but the reality was he had never heard it until he heard it from somebody who cared enough to one-on-one unpack it. Now, praise God, this person actually put their faith in Christ. That actually seemed like the right place to clap, but I'm confused because it didn't happen. So I don't know what's going on here. It's really up to you. I don't know. Whatever. Right? Praise God. And it was just from a simple unpacking of the gospel through relationship. Not too long ago, I was actually running 20 miles in Akron. There was this Blue Line training run because the Akron Marathon was coming up. And so I joined, I don't know, it was like 500, 600 people, whatever it was. But we all came together. We ran this 20 miles in preparation for the Akron Marathon that was coming together. And I started running beside a guy. His name was Michael. And never met him before in my life. Nice guy. And we were running, and so I just started asking questions, and I said, "So are you training for the Akron Marathon?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm training for the Akron Marathon." I said, "Well, do you have a goal?" And yeah, he had a goal. He wanted to actually qualify for Boston, which I want to qualify for Boston too. And so we started talking, having a great conversation, and I asked him, I said, "Are you running the Akron Marathon this year?" And he said, "Yes." And then, as a good human tends to do, he asked me back, "Are you running the Akron Marathon this year?" And I said, "No, actually, I'm not. I wish I were, but I can't, because there's actually this national program that's going on called Dare to Share Live, and I'm emceeing at a church in Apple Creek, Fairlawn Mennonite Church. I'm emceeing this event locally, but it's happening all over the nation. And on that day, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to equip students to share the G-O-S-P-E-L, and then they're going to go out into the streets and their communities, and they're going to actually share the gospel. And so this is what I trained them to do, and I just unpacked the G-O-S-P-E-L as we were running together. And when we were finished, he says to me, "I don't really agree with what you're doing." And I said, "Really? Why is that?" And he said, "Well, don't get me wrong. I'm a Christian too, and I go to church and stuff, but I just feel like if you're going to share the gospel, it should be in the context of a relationship. So I don't think you should go out and you should just be sharing the gospel like that." And so I was running and I was thinking about that. And I said, "You know, I agree with you that I think sharing the gospel should be in the context of a relationship. That makes sense to me. But let me ask you a question, Mike. How long do you have to know somebody before you can share the gospel with them?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, we want to share the gospel in the context of a relationship. How long does that relationship have to be established? I mean, are we talking 5 months, 5 years, 5 minutes? And he says, "Well, I never thought about that before." I said, "Well, I'm sure you haven't." I said, "Let me ask you a question." "Okay." I said, "We've known each other now for maybe 10 minutes, and I just shared the gospel with you. Was that weird?" He said, "No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't." You see, we fool ourselves and we lie to ourselves and we say this thing, and it sounds right, right? We have to have a relationship with somebody before we can share the gospel. But the crazy thing is, for so many people, we've just kind of met them. We don't really know them, right? And so we don't want to share the gospel with them because we might jeopardize the potential future relationship. We're going to come across as weird. On the other side, we've known people for so long, and we don't want to jeopardize our great relationship. We've known them so long. So there's what, like a three-second window between there? Right. You got to quick inject the gospel. You know them long enough now, but you're about to know them too long. No! That's not how this works. And so I actually told my buddy Mike, I said, well, you know, you may not like the way I do it, but I agree with D.L. Moody. Somebody told D.L. Moody one time, I don't like the way that you present the gospel. And D.L. Moody thought about it for a moment. He said, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. Last Christmas, I had an opportunity to go running with a guy. It was Christmas morning. And he wanted to get some miles in. I wanted to get some miles in. I thought, yeah, that sounds like fun. So we went out and running. It was Christmas morning, and I had been praying for this guy for a long time. I didn't know if he was a believer or not. I knew that we were good friends. We had some conversation around the gospel, but not a lot. I wasn't sure where he was at, and we went running Christmas morning, and as we were running, I said, boy, I'm sure glad we got to get out as early as we did because I want to make sure I get back by church. You know, just waiting to see what his response, just trying to, you know, set it up, see what's going down. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. And so then I finally came out. I said, hey, you going to church anywhere today? It's Christmas morning. He said, actually, I am. I said, really? That's great. Fantastic. Are you a believer? And he said, yeah. I'm a Christian. I put my faith in Christ. I totally believe that Jesus died for my sins. I totally believe that. I said, that's fantastic. That's really exciting. And then I thought for a moment, and I said, can you do me a favor? He said, well, what's that? I said, would you share the gospel with me? He said, I wouldn't know where to begin. I said, no, seriously. Can you just unpack? Share the gospel with me. I would love to hear it. He said, I wouldn't even know how. I said, let me get this straight. You put your faith in Christ. If you die, you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Right? I woke up and went Christmas Day running with you. And you can't even share with me the life-transforming message of Christ that you claim to believe. Is that right? He's like, that about sums it up. I got good news for you, buddy. I'm going to train you. And so there we were. And as we were running, I unpacked and I trained him how to share the gospel through the G-O-S-P-E-L, because the next person that he's running with may not actually be a believer. Guys, when I'm talking about the gospel, when I'm talking about sharing our faith, I'm not talking in theory. I'm talking in practice. And I love the G-O-S-P-E-L because to me it's the clearest presentation of everything that we need to know about what Christ has done for you. Is it entry level? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. That's where the majority of the people are. And in fact, many of us, we kind of graduate beyond entry level and then we just get confused. So maybe we need to go back to just the clear gospel of Jesus Christ, which I'm so excited because we've been unpacking this gospel as a church. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity. Last week, Keith did a great job of unpacking the GOS, but I want to do a real quick recap, if we could. And first service, there was a bunch of youth, and they were really loud. They nailed this, so I'm believing in you guys that as I hold up a letter and I say that letter, that you guys will be able to tell me that whole phrase. I believe in you. Are you ready for this? Let's try it. Okay, so G, God created us to be with him. Good job. Give yourselves a round of applause. This is so exciting. God created us to be with him. At the very beginning, God spoke And things happened, and it was crazy. I would have loved to have been there, but he's like, how about moon and stars? And there it is. How about vegetation? And there it is. And so whatever is in the mind of God to create, he speaks it into existence. But when it comes to man, he does something very different. When it comes to man, he gets down into the dirt. He gets intimate for this one. And he forms from the dirt the man. And he breathes life into the man. Do you see how intimate God was with humans even at creation? When it comes to creating the whole world, he speaks it into existence. When it comes to creating man, he gets muddy and he gets bloody. Last night, we had a ministry banquet for Jeff Pullen Music, and we invited a potter to come in, and he was talking about God the potter as he was forming clay, and it was really cool. And afterwards, I went up to talk to the guy. He had just finished, and his hands were full of clay. Like, it's just muddy. He couldn't even touch anything because he just had this clay everywhere. And I noticed he just had kind of speckles of clay all over his face because he just got done forming clay. Guys, think about it. The first thing that Adam saw with his brand new eyes when he opened them was the smiling, muddy face of Father God. How intimate was God in the creation of man? Not only did he get muddy, but he got bloody. When it came time to create Eve, he stuck his hand in Adam's rib, ow, pulled it out, fashioned it. How intimate is God when it comes to his human creation? For the whole world, he speaks it. For humanity, he gets muddy and he gets bloody. God created us to be with him. But there's a problem. Oh, our sins separate us from God. Totally true. It didn't take Adam and Eve too long to mess this thing up, P.S. And I want you to know something about yourself. You ain't that good. That's true. Turn to your neighbor and be like, you ain't that good. Yeah. Oh, some of you are really enjoying this. Okay, simmer down. It's true. We were all sinful from birth because when it comes to Adam and Eve, they chose to not follow God, but instead to follow their own sinful desires. And if we're honest, we have all done that. All have sinned and fallen away. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And the crazy thing about Adam and Eve's sin is when you read it, serpent comes in, he starts saying, surely God didn't say that, right? He starts twisting the words of God. But when you read about the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, did you ever notice how it was described? It was described as desirable. It was described as, looked like it was good for eating. See, here's the reality. That's where Satan trips us up. Most of us don't wake up in the morning, we're like, oh, good morning, I think I'll kill someone today. That's not how that works. Most of us begin a very slow fade of choosing things that look good, but they're not good because God told us not to. And every single one of us has fallen into that trap, and our sins separate us from God. Now, think about this in terms of your normal everyday relationships, right? If you lie to someone, does that make your relationship with them better? Or does it cause separation between you and that individual? It causes separation. And we have all done terrible things to the Lord, things he told us not to do. Oh, snap. Wade, why didn't you tell me I had a Sharpie in my hand? This is embarrassing. Oh, well, S, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Ain't that the truth? You know, no matter how hard we try, oh, this is bad. No matter how hard we try, we cannot make ourselves better, right? Isaiah said that even our best deeds are like filthy rags before a holy God. We can try and we can try and we can work like crazy. Actually, would you help me out, buddy? Just erase it quick, right? Our sins make a permanent stain. You're getting nowhere. I appreciate your effort. There is nothing that we can do about it. Sins can't be removed by good deeds. But here's the deal, guys. That's where Jesus comes in. Jesus says, I see that S. Looks pretty permanent. And he covers it with his blood. Jesus, on the cross, laid down his life. He was perfect, P.S. He never did anything wrong. But willingly, on the cross, he poured out his blood. He shed his own blood to take our sins away. Only by the blood of Jesus. Which leads us to this morning. P. Paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. This is the best news I have ever heard in my life. Because just like you, I'm a pretty bad dude. Well, some of you are bad dudettes. Whatever, you get it. I can't clean myself. I can't fix myself. And God knows that. And in compassion, Jesus came into the world. Surely he bore our sin. And the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus laid down his life so that we could be reconciled to the Father. How awesome is that? And it leads us to this great truth. E. You're not as confident as you once were, but I still like you. I want to point that out. E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. God created us to be with him, but our sins separated us from God, and those sins couldn't possibly be removed by good deeds. So, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again, and now everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever, who is this great message for, guys? The good people who go to Fairlawn. No? Yes? No? Yes? Yes and. It's for us, and it's for them. Everyone, and by everyone, I mean everyone who puts their faith in Christ alone, who comes to that realization, I can't clean myself. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I can't fix this problem on my own. And I know that Jesus, on the cross, paid for my sins. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. The American church has a problem with this, by the way. We have a hard time, and part of it is because we're very Greek in the way that we're Greek in the way we seat right now, right? There's a guy up front and a bunch of people who are taking in going, uh-huh. And that's very Greek, okay? And part of the problem with our Greek understanding of things, we're very logical. 1 + 1 = 2, right? The Hebrew understanding is a little different. You see, in a Greek mentality, which we are, we're Gentiles, I don't know if you know that about yourself, we've been grafted in. In a Greek mentality, I could say, I believe that box will hold me. And everybody's okay with that. Some of you are like, look sturdy, you're not that heavy. Thank you for that compliment, by the way. I think that box will hold you. And we're done. We're done with it, right? And so we have a lot of this. It's kind of like, you know, in the quiet of your own heart, you know, do you agree with certain things? And to a Greek person, to a Western person, that makes a lot of sense. To a Jewish person, that doesn't actually make sense. It doesn't work that way. For a Jewish person, which Jesus was, P.S., for a Jewish person, it's not enough to say, I believe that box will hold me. The only thing that's going to work is if I say, I believe this box will hold me. Do you see the difference? And so everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. But that trusting means that we put our weight on what we believe. That trusting means we put it into practice. That if he's true and he's not a liar, then we can walk out the things that he told us to do. And we'll find him to be faithful. And there's a couple of gospels that have really broken into the church. And I want to kind of represent those gospels here with three glasses. So this water, you know, in the scriptures, Jesus said that he is the living water. And we're going to use this water as an illustration of the gospel. And I think there's at least three different kinds of gospels that we deal with, maybe that we share. And we are all about glorifying God by equipping believers. Oh, there's not enough gospel in this one. I need more gospel there. We're all about equipping believers, right, to advance the gospel. This glass is going to represent a clear gospel. It's by faith alone and Christ alone that we can be saved. Amen? It is a clear gospel. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who puts their faith in Christ alone, in him alone, has eternal life. This is a clear gospel. The second glass is actually going to represent what I would call a muddy gospel. Now, if you're thirsty, which the world is thirsty for Christ, whether they know it or not, if you're thirsty and you come to this refreshing, clear gospel, it's the best thing ever. If you're thirsty and you come up to this second glass, which is kind of more like a muddy gospel, you might be able to find the water you need, but it kind of not quite right, right? And so we have some phrases. We have some things that we do sometimes when we're presenting the gospel that muddy it up. One of them that I personally don't like, though I have been guilty of saying it, is this one. I don't know if you ever heard. If you ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to be saved. Anybody ever said that before? Yeah, me too. It's a muddy gospel. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I have me some sugar pearls. They're going to go into this gospel because it's no longer a clear gospel. In fact, now I'm wondering, have I done that? Have I asked Jesus? Jesus, you in there? Knock three times and say yes. Right? What does that even mean? To ask him into your heart. And that's not the only one. I've heard this one, and I'm sure I've said it. Father, forgive me. It's the gospel is a free gift that'll cost you everything. You ever heard that one? You ever said it? Anybody presented that one? It's a free gift that'll cost you everything. Yeah, that makes no sense, by the way. A free gift can't cost you everything or it's not really free. So what do I have? What can I give Jesus? Well, I have M&Ms. Uh-oh, we're losing a little gospel there. It's getting a little full. Hey, wait, do you want some M&Ms? No? All right, whatever. Right? What about this? It's a free gospel that costs you everything. Well, I have some money here. Maybe he'll, oh, we're losing a lot of gospel. Uh-oh. Maybe that will help make it clear. And if that wasn't enough, some of the things we say actually mudded up like crazy. I heard what I think is the worst country music song ever yesterday by Luke Bryan. Something about this idea of, you know, the streets are paved with gold and it's worth working for to get there. Right? Anybody heard this? I believe people are good or something like that. Guys, this is a muddy gospel. This is very unclear. Oh, that's delightful. The gospel's still in there, but it's not packaged clearly. We need to be about presenting a clear gospel. Anybody, any takers? Who's interested in this? Nobody, huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on up. It'd be fantastic. Your parents will love me. Part of the reason why the people in our lives aren't very interested in the gospel is because we're not presenting it clearly. I'm not interested in that second cup either. And then there's a third cup. And the third cup is actually poisonous. The least bit of poison in that cup now makes it lethal. And some of the things that we present are actually poisonous. All roads lead to God. No, they don't. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It's faith alone and Christ alone. It's not by works. And when we start adding works to salvation, when somebody starts saying something like, I need to clean myself up so that God can accept me. How many of you in here soap off before you shower? Didn't think so. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is the cleaning agent. And sometimes we say you got to get your act straight before you can come to Jesus. That is a poisonous gospel. The clear gospel is for everyone. And everyone who simply trusts in Him alone will have eternal life. Which leads us to our last bit. L. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. I feel more excited about it than you. I'm going to give you another shot. L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's exactly right. Guys, this is the gospel. God created us to be with Him, but our sins have separated us from God, and the sins cannot be removed by good deeds, which is why Jesus came. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again so that everyone who trusts in Him alone can have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. What is eternal life, by the way? I love what Jesus actually said in John 17. He said, eternal life is this, that they would know You. God created us to be with Him, that intimate, muddy, bloody beginning. And He's wanting to bring us back to that again. He wants us to be with Him now. I'm going to use another illustration. And this time, I'm going to use milk because I like milk. That's the only reason, actually. This milk represents your life, right? I'm going to drink the rest of this later. Everyone who lives has been given life. This makes sense. God breathed it into existence. He fashioned us together in our mother's womb. So this cup of milk here represents life. Everyone has it. But for those who have put their faith in Christ alone, something awesome happened. You've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. You've been given a deposit. The Holy Spirit has come into your life. I want a lot of Holy Spirit, okay? Let's get the Holy Spirit. You did not know the Holy Spirit was Hershey's. Okay, that's heretical. Sorry. Good. Here's the deal. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever, but for too many of us, that's a lot of Holy Spirit. I just noticed that. Our lives are like this. It's pretty much the same as it was. And so we go through our lives just living normal lives, believing that the treasure is at the end. That's not what God has for us. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't just live an ordinary life like everybody else. The gospel is like what Paul said to Timothy. In some translations it says, stir up within you the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of hands. Stir up within you the Holy Spirit deposit. It also says, fan into flame. I don't have a flamethrower, and the church said amen. This is how we're meant to live our lives. Eternal life is this, that we would know God, that we would walk with God. Our lives aren't meant to look just like they did before Jesus came in with a reward at the end. Our lives are meant to be so mixed up. I know this sermon series has made a lot of people freak out because it's like we're out of our comfort zone. It's like we're being stirred up. God! That's where we're going to find Jesus. He wants us to be stirred up. In fact, at the end of his time on earth, Jesus came and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he died on the cross for our sins. And he was thrown into the grave and he rose. The stone couldn't hold him. And he hung out with his disciples for a while. And then before he ascended back to heaven, he had one last chance. One last chance to say something that was just bursting from his heart. And what he said was this: go into all the world and preach the gospel. Another translation says, or another gospel rather, says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then Matthew 28, 20 adds this: and I will be with you always. So many of us are living lives that actually aren't all that transformed. Yes, the treasure's waiting at the end, but I want you to know the treasure is for you now. And this life with Jesus, as we go out doing the very thing that he said to do, remember, it's the great commission. He's doing it with us. So many of us, we feel far from God. We feel distant from him. That's because we showed up at the basketball court and he's saying, meet me at the football field. When we do what he's asking us to do, which is to go into all the world and make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. When we get our clear marching orders, when we meet him where he said to meet him, we will experience him. He will be with us always to the very end of the age. Guys, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I pray that we would be active in sharing our faith, like Philemon 1:6 says, so that we would know every good thing that is ours, that has been deposited. We'd stir it up. We'd be active in sharing our faith so we would know everything that is ours in Christ Jesus. I pray we would not only give the gospel in a clear way, but that we would live the gospel. That God would be real to us. Would you join me in praying for that? Father, would you help us to take your Son at his word? Would you help us to believe that that Holy Spirit deposit is in us to be stirred up? That as we get serious about sharing this amazing truth with the people that we know and love, that we would truly experience you. I pray that we would become active in sharing our faith, so that the world may know that you are good, and so that we may know everything that is already ours in Christ Jesus. I pray in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.